What is up, y'all? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where every day we give you real news and great conversation. I'm so excited to bring my next special guest to the show, Civic Media's very own political editor, Dan Schaefer. Welcome, Dan. Thanks for making time.
Good afternoon, Maggie. Always a treat to join you here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
So we opened up a discussion about Donald Trump's announcement of tariffs yesterday, which, of course, he did via Truth Social, the best place for complex macroeconomic policy announcements. And we've been talking about what this is going to mean for the middle class and especially for Wisconsinites. My argument has been that these kinds of tariffs are just stupid economics, and they will end up hurting the middle class, hurting the very manufacturers, especially in the auto industry, in the construction industry, that employ literally tens of millions of Americans. It's going to make stuff more expensive. It's going to make it less likely that we're going to see real wage increases. It's going to make it more likely that we're going to see layoffs. And I want to get to some of the great texts and comments. But Dan, I wanted to get your take on all of this. Where do you sit on the tariffs? Do you think this is going to work? Is it going to stop the fentanyl? Is it going to lead to some sort of magic immigration fix? What are your thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a particularly effective policy. It's starting your administration this next term by essentially kicking off a trade war with Mexico, because you saw some of the reaction from the Mexican president as well. So, but you're kicking off this trade war. I saw another piece of this involving Canada in the same way that you're involving Mexico in this. And that is going to have a real impact on gas prices in the Midwest, because a lot of the gas that comes to the Midwest, a lot of the oil that comes to the Midwest comes from Canada as well. So I think that is going to have an impact. So if you voted for Trump for lower prices on groceries, on gas, this is not going to have that effect. I think we're seeing, a kind of across the board concern from macroeconomics in the country. And I think, with good reason. But I do think, politically, I think about this in the context of the legacy of NAFTA. And I think that there was a great piece from my friend Dan Kaufman, who wrote for The New Yorker and writes for The New York Times Magazine. He had a piece before the election on how NAFTA broke American politics in a lot of ways. So I think this is, like we saw in 2016 when Trump won the first time, he has all these promises about this economic populism, bringing manufacturing back to the Midwest. Well, it didn't work the first time. And so there's really no evidence to suggest it's going to work this time. In fact, there was a lot more evidence to suggest that the Biden administration's policies, bolstered manufacturing in a lot more ways by investing in the Chips and Science Act, the bipartisan infrastructure law, a lot of these types of things. Whereas those types of policies that Trump advanced during his first term were not particularly effective. And I don't think there's any reason to believe that these policies are going to be effective in Trump's second term either.
Couldn't agree with you more. And just on the NAFTA piece, I've talked about this on my show. Every single economist, objective, legitimate economist with integrity, knew back when NAFTA was being debated. And by the way, NAFTA was a Republican trade deal that moved through the Newt Gingrich-controlled Congress back then. Yes, Bill Clinton agreed to it, but it was a Republican idea. Free trade agreements has been part of the conservative sort of economic orthodoxy for decades. Every economist knew when, if you move forward with something like NAFTA, it is going to lead to job loss in the United States and wage decreases, right? Because frankly, if you can make something and pay a worker pennies on the dollar in another country and import it without these kinds of protectivist measures, that's what's going to happen. Everybody knew you're going to need relocation programs and job upskilling and reskilling. None of that was included in the NAFTA legislation. And frankly, Republicans have opposed those sorts of measures that would have enabled middle-class workers whose jobs were lost to be nimble, to be able to find different and new employment and not suffer these economic hardships. we seem to be doing sort of slapstick macroeconomic policy yet again with very little concern about the impact on middle-class families. Briefly, I want to go to the text lines. Lots of good comments. Kimber from Muskoda said this: didn't Joe Biden also help increase our capability for production in some of the industries that we have previously been very dependent upon China for, including the CHIPS Act? Yes, this has been, that was one of the driving factors behind the CHIPS Act that Joe Biden got accomplished, was to try to side us some of the manufacturing of these critical microchips for basically everything that we use now, from your refrigerator to your phone to your little smart device speaker and everything in between, including automobiles, etc. Kimber, thank you for the holiday greetings right back at you. Andrew from Maine pointing out that wouldn't it be smarter to actually decriminalize drugs, try to eliminate or regulate the black market, tax it, and again, go through whether you're trying to do treatment, get people off of drugs, et cetera. Yes, as an economist, I've always been in the legalize it camp, because that is a demand that never goes away unless you actually move into a treatment and decriminalization phase. That's not where we've gotten in our country. Tyler from Columbia County saying this: want to pay more taxes? ? Most items used in schools outside of food and toilet paper usually are imported, including all of the technology. School referendums have been such a huge thing in Wisconsin, Dan, because all of our school districts have been starved of the resources that they need. Yep, those dollars are going to go even less far with these tariffs in place. And from Chippewa Falls, it will be like another pandemic. The rich will get richer. Totally agree, Ann. The last time we saw massive tariffs as a source of baseline economic policy in our country was back in the early 1900s. And in fact, it was one of the precursor factors that led to the Great Depression. Those tariffs didn't end up benefiting the middle class. They actually helped the monopolizers of that time, because we didn't have anti-monopoly regulations on the book. The Sherman Act didn't exist. Our antitrust laws didn't exist back then. That allowed these industrialists that had near monopolies, or indeed monopolies in steel and railroads and all these kinds of things, to extract extremely high prices from the middle class. We're approaching that. I mean, who doesn't think that we've got businesses with near monopoly power in our food supply, in our tech spaces, all over the place? Great comment. And Wes from Middleton: I need to see Trump's "I did that" stickers when the prices go up on things. This is Trumpflation every single day. Andrew from Maine pointing out that, again, this is going to raise prices. We've got near $1 trillion of trade being exchanged with Canada, with Mexico. It's over $1 trillion if you take it all together. If you look at the total trade value between these three countries and the U.S., you're approaching $3 trillion. All of those things will be subject to these tariffs and retaliatory tariffs. It is kind of a downward spiral. It's not a good outlook, Dan. And I don't understand how any of this gets sold as economic populism. It doesn't bring manufacturing back to the extent that manufacturers do try to return. It takes a long time to do that.
Right. And even trying to get something in the short term, you know, and again, I just want to go back to what we saw, you know, during Trump's first term. We didn't see a return and a revival of American manufacturing in this country. We saw projects like Foxconn. You know, we saw it right up close and personal here in Wisconsin with this transactional nature. I think that the characterization of Trump being transactional is like kind of a cutesy way of saying that this is kind of in the realm of corrupt behavior, of a pay-to-play type of scenario. And so I think that is the type of thing that we should expect from a second Trump term, not a revival of American manufacturing, and not the types of, you know, protectionist trade policy that is not going to be particularly effective.
And here's one of the things that I don't think people are talking about nearly enough, Dan, to your point precisely. Donald Trump used tariffs in his first administration to pick winners and losers. And big surprise, the winners that he picked, the manufacturers that he picked to help with some of these tariffs, were the people that supported Donald Trump. That's not the way capitalism is supposed to work, everybody. That's called autocracy, when the leader of your country gets to determine which businesses succeed. As an example, one study found that Mr. Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum increased U.S. production of those metals by $2.2 billion in 2021. But American factories that use those metals to make cars and food packaging and the appliances that we rely on in our middle-class homes, that caused them to pay higher supply costs, and they saw a $3.5 billion reduction in their production output in that very same year. This is what is distorting about tariff policy. It moves away from capitalism. It moves away from capitalistic democratic principles. Kathy from Madison, thanks for your patience. What do you want to say this afternoon?
Hi, is that me?
Yes, that's you. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi. Okay. Well, it's been a very enjoyable good show so far. And I just had to razz you about when you mentioned Muscoda.
Yes.
It's Muscoday.
Oh, it's Muscoday.
Muscoday, believe it or not. So that's all. I figured you'd get about 100 tests about that. But
I love it. Thanks so much, Kathy. I'm learning every day, and I learn from each and every one of you. Dan Shaver is going to be with us for a bit this afternoon. He is the political editor for Civic Media. One of our texters from WMDX saying this: I keep hearing from all these businesses about raising prices if there are tariffs. Why weren't these business leaders out there and talking about this more before the election? We have just a little bit of time. I'm going to give you my take, because they didn't want to earn Trump's wrath. They didn't want to be one of those loser businesses who gets punished by Donald Trump. Dan, your take.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. They didn't want to put themselves in the line of fire. And I think it's a politically risky maneuver to say something before the election that could have an impact there. And I think that's a big reason why, we're hearing now about places like Walmart saying that, yeah, tariffs are going to increase prices.
We got to take care of some quick business, pay a couple of bills. We're going to be back with political editor Dan Shaver. We're going to talk about that conference I was at last week and how Democrats continue to talk about race and racial justice in this post-election environment. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.